Welcome to Are You Real, episode 78.
Welcome to Are You Real, Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now, get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, I am excited for you to be here. Okay, so check this out. Coming up, starting January 1st, we are going to be launching five more shows, including the one that you guys have been listening to faithfully for a year, just over actually, so I want to say thank you. But check this out. So we're going to be doing five shows. All guests that you've heard of, we're going to be enlarging our platform. It'll be Monday through Saturday. And right now, we have my wife coming on, Casey Fuller, going to do Are You Real Fit? You can, she'll be talking about fitness, different things about helping get in shape, and just overall life, physical, getting better. So you can check her out on episode 47. We're bringing on Jody Holland. He'll be doing Are You Real Success? The psyche of success, just the mental attitude of everyday life, relationships, marriage, family, all that stuff. You can check him out on episode 31, 50, and 61 if you want to check out some back episodes. We have Michael McIntyre, who was 2 weeks ago, again, doing one on business. He'll be doing talking about how to start up business, run companies, bring on other entrepreneurs. If you guys don't recall or haven't listened to him before, he's done over $4 billion in sales, had a huge team across the nation. Love talking with him on business. He is episodes 10, 57, and 77. We're bringing on Christy Austin with Are You Real Linked, talking about the ministry side of churches and different things that go on and how they come behind churches, pastors, leaders, businesses, and help spread the kingdom. That's going to be awesome as well. She, again, Are You Real Linked? She's episode 12. And then also, as of today, doing this recording, one of my best friends, you go all the way back, it's Matt Dietz, and he's going to be doing one called Are You Real Creatives? He's episode one. What's fun about that is Matt is writes music, sings music. He's phenomenal, does a lot of different things, but he's going to be hitting the whole side of music and ministry, and not just ministry, but in the secular as well, and talking about creating music, writing music. We're going to be bringing on songwriters, different things. So really excited for you guys to check all this out, launching big. But hey, I really need your help, and this is what I need. I need you guys to email me, John, J-O-N, at areyoureal.org. You can get on the website, send me a message, and this is what I need. I need to know what you guys need. What can we do as an organization, ministry, whatever the heck we are? Man, we're just here to serve you guys. But what I need to know is, what daily things are you struggling with that you want to hear about? How can we impact your lives to get you to the next level in life, in marriage, relationships, business, whatever it is? I want to hear your story, and I want to hear what we can do to help you. So whether that's like you need ideas on books and programs or episodes, whatever, please send it. So love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to send me an email, and please rate, review, share our stuff out there in social media. And also, as of today as well, we're on Instagram. So we're on Are You Real Pod, and you can also get on Facebook. We're going to start creating a closed group to bring everybody in and to start networking as well. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. It's awesome. Be blessed. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever accommodates you, Roar Nation. We are fired up and ready to go here in Amarillo, Texas, and I'm excited this morning. A lot of my people out there have said we needed more women, so I have done just that. I've had a friend go out in search of awesome authors, and for some of you, actually have sent in requests, and I do plan on following those up, just so you know. I haven't forgot, and if you sent me something, if I haven't got back to you, that means I haven't forgot. That just means I'm busy. So, that being said, I am super excited this morning. We are going to be interviewing Bethany Jett. Bethany is a mother of three boys. She's a military wife, and she is currently in graduate school for marketing and PR. But this is what I love. She is doing all that, plus she's an author slash blogger and owns two businesses. So that being said, there's a lot to talk about, and her plate is very full. So, Bethany, you fired up and ready to go?
So ready.
All right, let's do this. So, Bethany, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? I did hit, like, obviously, I just hit highlight points of your life and all the things you're doing. But why don't you go into a little bit deeper for our audience about your life, what you do, and your passion?
Well, it's funny because I never thought I would be an author. It was one of those things. You know, you dream about certain things, but you never think it'll happen.
Yes.
And, you know, my husband and I were in youth ministry for a really long time and really have a heart for teenagers and college age students. And so I wrote a book really for my girls in our youth group. And that sort of like sparked everything. Like I went to a writer's conference, the book sold, I got an agent. And it was almost like, you know, you live your life where it's like you're pouring gasoline on all these little paths. You don't know what's going to hit. And God just like lit the match and everything changed after that. So it all hinged on that first thing. You know, I'm not a bestseller. I'm not like a super famous name. Most people are probably like, who's Bethany Jett? But I believe in leveraging everything, including connections. And so part of our company is finding people who are really great at what they do and connecting to them. And I saw that in your bio, the gift finder. You said you were the gift finder. I love that.
Yes. Gift finder. Yes. That's anyways, yeah, I love that because you talk about connecting people. I drive down the road and I literally as I'm driving, I'll ask God questions. I'm like, hey, what's that person's gift? And it's the weirdest thing. I never even thought about this. But yesterday when I was driving down the road, I saw colors coming off of people. I know this sounds so weird, but out of seeing people's colors, like I would see their gifting. And the Holy Spirit would just tell me what they were good at. And I was like, that is so cool. So anyways.
Super cool.
So tell me about how you guys connect people and what that looks like as far as ministry-wise or your business or how you guys do that.
One of the companies is Serious Writer Incorporated. And so we are doing online instruction through our academy, which is how we can get, you know, my best friend's a bestseller. She sold almost 4 million copies of her books and thought, how can I get her in front of people who want to write for children or who want to write for women if they can't make it to a writer's conference that she's teaching at, for example. So the Academy is our way of the people that are our peers now in our network, letting people take classes from them online, you know, in the comfort of their own home, being able to connect them through social media, just trying to find a way that I can sort of be the in-between between someone else's, like God's start, you know, lighting the match for their writing. I just kind of want to help be that little influence. And so we're also doing conferences and tours, you know, one day stops so that people who might be nervous about going to a writer's conference, they don't really know what their gift is or what they want to write. We're doing these tour stops so we can kind of help like them find exactly what they need and then decide if they want to go further. So we're really trying to start with the new writers or people who are like in my position where I didn't know what my purpose was until I, you know, was pushed into a writer's conference and it changed everything. And there's other people like that too.
Ooh, you said purpose, man. You just hit a key word for us. So, okay. Before we jump into that, as you've been going down this journey, what has been like an inspirational scripture or quote for you?
Yep. I've got two. So in my first book, I wrote it in my acknowledgments. It's Jeremiah 15:19. And the summary of that is, if you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. And I really take that to heart. And I took it to heart with all the books that I read. I don't want to write worthless words and I don't want to say worthless words. And if I want to be God's spokesman, I have to write worthy words. And so then determining which words are worthy, you know, really praying over your writing and just, you know, it's almost like a promise. If you write the, you know, say your right worthy words, you will be the spokesman. I want to be a good spokesman.
Dude, I love that, Bethany. That's really good. That as soon as you said that, it reminded me of the proverb says, "Life, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That goes exactly along with that because I believe as Christians, we're called to speak life, God's purpose into people. Yeah. So I love that scripture. That is awesome. Okay, so you said purpose.
Yep.
Where did you, because, you know, most people, all of us, I think, have this yearning or desire to know if we don't know. And we want to know what that is, because obviously, you know, God created trees for a purpose. The moon, the sun serves a purpose. How did you discover that? Like, take me on the journey of you discovering your purpose.
I think God gives you a lot of hints, you know, and nudges for things. My husband's a really great speaker. Like I said, we were in ministry, so he was teaching every week. But I would find myself saying to him, you know, don't you want to speak like on stage to bigger audiences? And I thought, I'll be the wife in the back selling shirts or whatever for you. And he was like, no, I really don't want to do that. And then, you know, he would say, you really need to start writing, or people would start encouraging me for things. So I found myself dreaming for him the things that I was dreaming about for me. And I didn't realize it at the time. But I was doing a lot of things, like as a mom and a, you know, minister's wife, I was doing a lot of direct sales kind of things. And that all really helped me in the business side, looking back. But it wasn't, like I said, my mom and my husband really pushed me for about 5 years to start writing. And I didn't think I had anything to say. And it's so hard to break in. But I got a scholarship to the Florida Christian Writers Conference and almost didn't go. But I did. I went.
So wait, hold on. It was at that moment. Back up real quick. So... No, you're good. So, but I'm just all of a sudden, like you go from like, you don't even think you can write or want to write to you get a scholarship. So take me like, there's a little gap there. Tell me about that.
Well, I do need to say my mom has been writing for a long time. I write nonfiction and she writes fiction.
Okay.
So she had got her start at a writer's conference. So this is another reason, you know, she's saying you need to go. Yeah. So I got a scholarship. So nervous. Almost didn't go, but I didn't want to, you know, be disrespectful to the scholarship. You know, I didn't want to take something that someone else could have had. So I went, and my proposal, looking back, you know, we pitch proposals, book proposals to editors and agents and things. And it wasn't the best proposal in the world. I just felt, you know, when you're on, like, you feel like you're just on fire and like nothing can go wrong. You have these moments where you feel just like God's hand around you. That conference was like that for me. It's like everything I touched turned to gold, and it wasn't me. It was God. I knew that 100%. So I was actually working full time temporarily, and I hated it. And I asked God, I said, if I win, you know, the nonfiction award, you know, I'll quit my job, like fleecing God almost, as if he needs to, you know, show me anything. I didn't win that award. So I thought, okay, I'm not sure what to do, but ended up winning Writer of the Year, which is the overall award. Yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, okay, God, I get it. Like, you know, fine. So that was the start. It was just the beginning of.
I'm laughing. I'm just thinking about this because I've done the same thing. You throw this fleece and you're like, oh, wow, that just wasn't anything. And it's like God didn't like throw you a fleece. He threw you like a factory of fleeces.
Yes.
That's what's awesome about that. So it's like you get a little discouraged. He's like, no, you just don't have any idea how big I have this for you. So boom, I'm just going to drop it even much larger than you even expected.
And like I said, I got an agent. The next week I signed an agent contract, and then the book sold within 3 months just because of when the, you know, the pub board met. So 3 months after the conference, I have a book deal, which is crazy because I had no platform. I had nothing. So I had to learn backwards almost, you know, what to do. Like I said, it was the beginning of everything.
So take me down that journey. I mean, you got to be completely just stoked that I'm sure there's got to be a roller coaster. So I'm just curious. So after you sign your book, I want to travel down this journey for some people that maybe feel like they're called to write or do something like that so they can get a feel for your experience. Like, take me a little bit deeper down that as far as, like, after you sign your book, like, then what?
Well, then you have to write the book.
Yeah.
So for nonfiction, you don't have to have the book finished. Really, you need a proposal that outlines the book, all of the chapters, and you have to have some sample chapters. And there's more to it than that, but that's sort of just the, you know, the basics.
Right.
So I had taken two chapters in, and now all of a sudden I have to write this book. And I've got, I think, 3.5 to 4 months to finish the whole thing. So it would just became, you know, my husband's amazing. He just, you know, he's so good taking the kids, and he wanted me to write, and he has supported me this whole time and forcing me to sit down and just do it. So it's a lot of work. And then I think what a lot of writers at first may not realize is, with nonfiction, especially, you have to have a platform. So like getting a deal on, you know, I didn't have Instagram really. I wasn't building Twitter, Facebook, nothing. And I didn't have an email list. I didn't even know what that was. And so it's really hard to jump in. So I had to start doing all of those things. I had to start thinking about who I am as a brand instead of just who I was as, you know, the youth minister's wife and the mom and all those things. And it's quite a shift. I think a lot of Christians sometimes have a hard time being their own publicist. So it's been a lot of personal growth in that area over the last few years. to be quite honest.
Yeah, so for sure. So you, man, you bit off a lot. So you didn't just have to write a book. You had to figure out your brand, who you were, how you were going to market, and then start building a platform along with your book.
Yes.
Well, that's a lot. And seriously, I congratulate you because I do know how much work that is. Did you feel, does the publishing company or whatever, do they help you a little bit down that process as far as that, like helping you market a little bit, or do you have a little bit of support there?
Yeah, a lot of publishing houses, they have really great marketing teams and really great editors. The acquisitions editor, the person who like takes the book from the author and then has to pitch it to the, you know, the main boards for them to agree to do the book. I was really blessed and had a couple of people work with me. And I always tell writers, embrace the red ink, love the red ink, love the edits because it makes you a better writer. And one of the editors, you know, got on a call with me for an hour just going through what I had shown him and showing me where I could be stronger, telling me an author who he thought I sounded like a little bit. That really helped to be able then to go read that person's work. And it helped me kind of get in the motion of how I was writing my own words. So that was helpful. And then also he told me that I wrote like a speaker, not like a writer, because I'd done a lot of speaking. I taught a lot at church, you know, with youth group and things. And so then learning how to curb it so that it was more conversational and not how it would sound if I was teaching it. There's two, you know, it's two totally different ways of writing. So that was really helpful. And not every publishing house will do that, but I was really blessed to have really great editors.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm just curious. I'm going to jump into something else here in a minute. But when I know it's a lot like the music industry, I'm assuming. So when you get signed on, do they give you a little bit of advance or did you just kind of skip that and just write and just sell? Or how does that work?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about having an agent is that some publishers will do, you know, there's all different kinds of deals. Yeah, I had an advance and my goal was to, I call it earning out your advance because a lot of books don't do that. And it's basically when you have made enough back in royalties to where you're then making, you're getting a royalty check from the publisher.
Right.
On top of it. So my goal was like even a quarter. I just want a check for a quarter just so that I've earned out the advance. And that happened. That was like a big win. So I was like, yes, this is one of my, I'm very competitive. So I was competing with myself in that. But yeah, so if you go traditionally, a lot of times you will get an advance.
Okay. Well, congratulations on meeting your goal.
Thanks.
Okay. So this is really cool. So we hit a, what I would say is a mountain peak. I love your story, by the way. It's really fun, which just tells me it's all God as all far God. As how it's all flowed. But a lot of times we hit valleys and we hit really low spots either before or after a mountaintop experience. Because as we all know, or most of us know, that there's very little oxygen on the top of a mountain. So the real growth happens further down as we descend and then we work our way back up. What has been, take me down a journey or maybe a part for you in your life that was really dark maybe or just hard that was a great learning experience? And then what the Lord taught you through that?
So the big one was leaving vocational ministry because we had been at the same church for almost 10 years. And that's a long time.
Yeah, it's
in youth ministry, especially.
Yes.
So that was hard. It was really hard. And so, you know, Justin is my husband. He went back into the military and we moved and it was just kind of this whole new life. And that's when the serious writer business started for me. It was when Periscope kind of became big on the scene and I jumped on it and I started sharing just kind of basics, you know, how to write a nonfiction proposal and things. And then I realized I could start connecting people then to, you know, best-selling authors or experts. And so during that time, before Justin's military stuff started, you know, he was working two jobs. I'm trying to figure out how I can still be a stay-at-home mom, but still bring in income. And so that's sort of when the entrepreneurial stuff started kicking in. And God just really showed me how much I love it. And that's when that business was born. And now my agent and I merged our companies and now we have Serious Writer Inc. But that was the beginning. It was after a really dark year. We call it the year of suck.
Yeah, so we all have those. Take me down that a little bit. I mean, is there a story like in general that you can think of? Because I have so many of those. Like literally I'm on my knees in tears. Like, God, it can't be any worse than this. But we've all been there. And what I love about those stories is through every, like, it couldn't be any worse than this. Like, God did something great because he's just an awesome, loving father. Do you have one of those that's like encouraging that you're just like, I mean, I literally, there's been times I've gotten up, I'm like, holy crap, like this is freaking amazing. I cannot believe you pulled this off. And I say that sarcastically because I knew he could, but it's like almost in your mind, you think this, it can't be any worse. And then he just pulls a rabbit out of a hat. So yep. Do you have one of those?
So many. And like the one that just keeps coming to mind. And I was like, God, do you really want me to share the story? But
I'm going to get it out of you one way or another, Bethany.
You know, like that, it was a year before, it was almost a year before he actually went into the military program that he was supposed to have gotten in way earlier. So we are desperate at this point. And I'm thinking, do I need to go get a job? And how much of that money is going to go to daycare for the kids? And does it really work that way? So I was staying up almost every night. I was hardly sleeping and I was finishing my undergraduate at the time. So it just felt like you're a duck on water, you know, your feet are going crazy. I really started putting myself out there, which is hard to do. And like I said, Periscope was a big medium. God really used that tool, which is a live streaming app that is not as popular, I don't think, as it once was.
But I was just going to ask, because it's still, I remember when it hit the scene and I was like, ooh, I got to do that. And I never did anything with it. And I don't even know if it's around anymore.
It's still there. Twitter owns it. But the thing is, Facebook Live, I mean, it was like, as soon as I could get on Facebook, it did, because your audience is on Facebook. So, but at the time it was just Periscope and that was a big deal. So I had to get real brave. I had to get used to being on camera and just telling people what I did. Well, God uses connections. I mean, he used people that I met through Periscope who saw what I had to offer, even though I was still, as a writer, I think you're always doubting your abilities. But then I started getting these freelance jobs. And I look back over that 3-month period where it was like, I didn't know how we were going to pay our rent. And yet for those 3 months, I would get a freelance job that was like super crazy money. And I would get it done. And it was just like, God did that. I don't know how he did that. But I think if I hadn't started the platform, if I hadn't said, okay, this is what I can do for you. And if I hadn't given stuff away for free, that wouldn't have happened. I think God used that, but it was totally God. I mean, I don't know how we survived that year. I'm not even kidding.
Oh yeah. I love, you just made a comment. You said always doubting our abilities. And I think that is something we all deal with. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's just a human struggle, I think. What have you done to overcome that? Because from what it sounds like, God's really done some great things in you and your husband's life and your family. What have you done personally to overcome that mindset, that thought where you doubt who you are?
I think I don't know if I can pinpoint like one moment where I had a mind shift. I think you grow a little bit of thicker skin, but I know that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, if I couldn't do blank, like I would shrivel up and die, you know, I just wouldn't be able to live. And I had that experience with this, like with the businesses and the marketing and the writing and stuff, where I thought if someone were to ask me never to do this again, I think I would die. And I never felt that before. But I think it's just a mindset because, you know, we get rejected all the time. You know, my friend and I have this amazing book idea that we are shopping out. No one's picking it up. You know, they're all sending back these kind of sweet rejection letters. But she and I joke that we don't even get to the part where they're saying no. We just stop at like the good stuff. Like, oh, we love their writing style. And we're like, they love us. Like,
love that.
They wish they could publish us. So, I also think it's a disservice to God, honestly, for me to say I'm not a good writer or to start any false humility. I want to be a great writer. I don't think I'm there yet, but I think I am good. I'm good. And so I think you have to be able to tell yourself, God gave me this talent, whatever it is. And for me to say I'm not good at it, you're hurting him, like you're hurting what he gave you. And how is God supposed to bless anything that I'm doing if I'm always like, oh, I'm not good at it? Well, why don't you just get better at it? Like that's what I think.
I think that's a great mindset. When you said that, I was thinking about, I had interviewed Paul Young from The Shack, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago. And I remember him saying, there's just always every interview, something sticks out to me. But he had said one thing that he had turned his book into like every Christian company he could find, which was like, I don't know, dozens, like it was like 20 or 30. And they all basically told him that he was like too secular, right? So then he was like, okay, I'm too secular. So then he goes into the secular world and starts shopping his book out. And they all told him he was too religious.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what's amazing is the guy sold over like 40 million books and they make a movie out of it. So to say like, just because we get hammered, on any side. I love what you said. Like, hey, I'll just take the greatness of what they have to say, and I'm just going to keep doing something better until it sticks because I'm doing what I'm called to do.
It's so true.
Man, I dig it. Okay, so let's go into what you feel like we've already talked a little bit about what you were created to do. So you felt like you found that, you stepped into it, you own it. What do you feel like your biggest strength is?
I think what I'm really good at is I like helping other people figure out how to start marketing their ideas. And at the writers' conferences, we have these things called 15-minute appointments that you get to pitch your work. But I'm not an agent or an editor, so I can't help anyone get published. But when people meet with me, they will tell me what they're doing, and I'll try to figure out how to help them brand themselves or do the marketing stuff. And I really love that. I think I'm strong in helping someone see things that they didn't see or path that they could take, and giving them some nudges in the right direction. So that's what I really love to do.
I'm just curious, have you ever taken the Strength Finders book?
Yes, I have it right here.
There's one of them is ideation. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but basically one of your gifting is ideas.
I think that's actually one of my lowest.
Well, if it's in your top, I mean, I'm just curious. It just sounds like that's something obviously you're good at, but that's really, what's your top two?
I'm looking at it right now. Like, I love personality tests. And so I know like the Myers-Briggs and the DISCs, like off the top of my head. I think Achiever was number 5. I'm just looking there to see if I can, I don't remember my first one. I think it began with an M. Maximizer.
Okay.
Was my number 1.
Okay, awesome. So you maximize people's gifts.
Yes, and strategic.
Strategic, okay. That's really cool. I dig it. Okay, so with inside of that, either you can have an overextension of a strength or you just have a weakness in period. What do you feel like your biggest weakness is?
I overanalyze everything, always. And I think sometimes I put too much pressure on myself, so I don't write. I think especially with building these businesses, especially the last 6 months, I think my husband has said to me, "You don't see you writing very much." Like, so I haven't been blogging as much as I should. I'll make an excuse. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I've been working on all this stuff, but I need to start writing more. And I think if I'm not writing, then, you know, nobody can judge it. Nobody can say you're doing a bad job or I hate it or whatever. So I think I avoid and overanalyze. So I'm working on those two things.
You know, I just want to tell you that I'm full of opinions today. So I'm sure I'll get some emails or some comments that say, shut up, but that's okay. What it made me think of is for you writing, I remember being young in ministry. My wife and I, she's a worship leader. We did youth ministry for years. And I remember thinking, I said, I wanted to be the Howard Stern of Christianity. And for some people, I'm sure that just paints a terrible picture. But what I mean by that is he's so polarizing. He basically just, you know, he says whatever is on his mind. It's you either love him or hate him. And that's why he's so polarizing and why he's been so successful, because he doesn't care what people think. And I don't mean go around and be obnoxious and rude. So any of you out there listening, this isn't like a pass that John said, go be obnoxious and rude and stupid. What I'm saying is be that person. When you take your gift, just who gives a crap? Like, I'm just going to do it because God gave it to me. And either you can love it or hate it, but this is who I am. Just show up and be you.
I love that. I actually have two things taped to my laptop. And one of them is coffee, not vanilla, which is something John Acuff had sent out in one of his emails, just talking about people either like love coffee or they hate coffee. But the people who love it, they love it. And I'm like, so be pistachio ice cream. You know, people who love it, they love it. And so that's a reminder to just go for it. And then the other one is, it's a fortune cookie thing that I taped. And it says, the only thing worse than being talked about is not getting talked about. And I don't want you to get emails because I said that either. But if I'm...
I'm sure somebody will say it's sacrilegious or something, but dude, that's great. So keep going.
Yeah. Well, it just reminds me that if I have a point of view, which we all do, not to try to like undermine myself in my blog post, you know, trying to cover all the different areas, which is something that I find myself doing, is have a point of view and stick to it and be strong about it. Because even if someone is talking about it in a bad way, then that's better than nobody ever reading your stuff and nobody having a chance to be moved or inspired enough to say anything. So those are the two encouragements I have on my laptop.
I love that you said that back again. I was thinking about, that's great advice, because if they're not talking about it, so think about, again, the book, The Shack. Think about how many Christians, I just know so many people that are quote unquote religious that hated it, that basically said, well, God can't be a black woman, or he can't be whatever. And I'm like, he can be whatever the heck he freaking wants to be. I'm like, who cares? Like, if it's speaking and ministering to people, it's changing people's lives. But the awesomeness of that is it stirred up so much controversy, people were like, I have to go read it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, keep stirring the pot, girl. It's awesome. Oh, and I was going to say, dude, if God can speak through a donkey in the Old Testament, he can speak through a fortune cookie.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's not even, I mean, what's a bigger step of faith? Believing that God said something through a fortune cookie, or showing up on a farm and a donkey starts speaking to you? I mean, so all of you out there, if that just stirs you up just a little bit, then you need to sit down, take a deep breath, and just pray. It's going to be okay.
It's so true. And when we were deciding if we should leave ministry, which is not an easy decision. So anyone who has ever been in ministry probably understands exactly what I mean by that. You second guess everything, wondering what does God want you to do? And we were listening to a lot of Andy Stanley at the time too. There's another fortune cookie thing that I taped to my keyboard, which says, when you have no choice, mobilize the spirit of courage. And we had just been, you know, specifically praying about what to do. And that one was, and so God speaks through fortune cookies. So everyone needs Chinese food today.
Hey, no kidding. So let me ask you this. And this is, I think this is a big hit for people. You said about leaving ministry, and obviously I thought I was supposed to do ministry for years. And my wife has worked in the church. We've done different things, but let me ask you this. How many more people have you ministered to being what we would call a secular job versus being in the church or full-time ministry?
I have seen deeper relationships happen because we weren't titled with the word minister.
Right.
Like sometimes that's a barrier for people. But I've watched Justin minister everywhere he has gone. He's traveled some, deployed, just got back. Thank God for his safety. But I mean, we've had some real serious, deep connections with people that would never have happened within the military, especially if we had still been at the church. So I tell them, you know, we left vocational ministry. We never really left ministry. I think it's always part of who you are.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to hit on, is ministry is an overflow of who we are. So if we're spending time with the Lord and we're using our gifts and talents, it's naturally just going to minister to people. Ministry isn't being in four walls at a church or getting paid a salary at a church. That's just, I think that picture has been painted for years growing up. And that's one of the things that I've wanted to debunk, because I just think so many people think, oh, I got to go to seminary and I got to get a degree and I got to get in the church. And I'm like, man, the most impact you're ever going to have is in the workplace.
Yes, we totally agree. Actually, our kids probably will not go to Bible college because we want them to be Christians in the work. I mean, that's what my husband could talk about this with you forever.
Well, tell him to come on. I don't think I've had anybody in the military. Tell your husband he is welcome to come on my show. I have yet to have anybody in the military come on, so I would love his point of view and how he does things in the military. So he is Justin is invited.
Yay! You have so much fun.
That'll be good. Okay, what is the biggest thing right now that God's stirring inside of you?
I think really, and this is so hard to say on Christian podcasts, I need to spend more like quiet time, devotional time, Bible reading time, because I have felt him saying that to me for the last 2 weeks. Like really specifically at weird times, you know, where it just comes out of the blue and you're like, God, okay, God, I get it. I need to do this. Cause I feel like, especially now that we just had our first writers conference and it went really well. And we have all these things that we're doing. And I feel like he's telling me, you need to trust me more than you are. You need to come back and, you know, start writing again with some of the things that I'm telling you. And you need to start reading your Bible more, because if you step away from me too much, how can I bless it? And so I've really been feeling that lately, is I really have to get more into quiet time and daily devotional and making that a priority.
I couldn't agree more. I'm full of analogies today. I don't know what it is about movies, but what I think about is like Star Wars. So like the whole Force thing, like as we tap into the Holy Spirit in Jesus, like we just get supercharged, and it just takes the gift that he's already given us and just makes it like 1,000 times better. Mm-hmm. But until we tap into that and spend time with him, and it becomes overflow of him in us, then we don't ever like fully experience like a level 10 of our gift.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm feeling right now. Like I feel like the doors are just being, you know, pushed wide open. I feel like he's been moving this train. We've all, like, our team has felt that. It's been great. People say we're insane for all the things that we're doing, and that might be true a little bit, but we felt like God just moving this and pushing us to this. And now I feel like I'm at this point where he's like, I can do so much more, but you have got to make me the priority. And I'm like, maybe I haven't been making him the priority. Maybe I've been making the business the priority. So it's finding a balance and then listening when God tells you to start reading the Bible more.
Absolutely. Okay. We know what you're not doing right now, so we'll just make that, I'm just jabbing for fun. But what is a personal daily habit that you feel like contributes to your walk with the Lord?
Probably just constant prayer. It may not always be like specific praying for people, although I try to do that when people ask for prayers, to pray for them right away. But I just feel like I'm always in a constant thinking to God, talking to God. I need to be reading the Bible, like I said, but this is one area of my faith that's really strong. It's just a constant back and forth listening for him in that way. And so I can't imagine going an hour without, you know, whispering prayers or thinking prayers, you know, to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. What has been a recent book that you have read that's impacted you that you would share with us?
I have three, so I'll be fast.
Okay.
The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk, who I'm a big Gary V fan. He's a big social media person, but I like how he talks about, in this world of social media, you have a chance to be the small business owner mentality, where you're really getting to know your customers and getting to know your readers and not thinking like a big corporation. So that's a great book.
What was the name of that again?
The Thank You Economy.
Okay.
By Gary Vaynerchuk. And then we have three boys. So I'm reading Bringing Up Boys by Dobson, because I don't know what to do with boys. And then the third one is by John Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You, because I'm not one of the people who likes to do team projects. And I've been a solopreneur, to use that term, you know, for a long time. And now we have a team. And so now I'm learning how to not manage, how to delegate, how to make sure that, you know, I have a quieter leadership style and figuring out how to manage that well. So I'm really trying to be better at that too.
Man, you got a good array of books right now. So I need to connect you with my wife, because when it comes to raising kids, dude, I have to say she is phenomenal. But I believe that has a lot of, she's a secret like prayer warrior, dude. I'm telling you, like in the spirit, she would be a ninja. And
yeah.
So anyways, but she always like, she just comes out of the closet and she's like, this is what we need to do for the kids. And it's funny, because when we were younger, I was just like, yeah, whatever. Now she says it, I'm like, dude, you better listen, because you're going to screw this up if you don't.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, she's phenomenal. I need to connect you guys. So, okay. What is a resource you would like to share with our listeners that has been, and it can be anything, it doesn't matter, but just a resource you'd like to share with our listeners?
I finally took advice from one of my mentors and actually created a resource, but I'd like to share with your
audience. Heck yeah, dude, let's get it.
Okay, so my branding has changed, and now it's hashtag live brilliant. Because if you make better choices, you can live a better life. That's the theory. So I have a 30-day free challenge checklist, and I have been trying to do this on Instagram stories where I'm kind of going through it. And it's harder than you think, but it's not a to-do list, but it's capturing all five areas of your life. Like, I loved your seven mountaintops. So these are like the five brilliant somethings, like physical, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and financial. And we get so busy, especially as moms, so I'm talking to the moms out there, that sometimes we neglect those areas of our life because we're pouring into everybody else. And so this is a way to every day at least hit something in those five areas. So I have this checklist, and it's available on my website, you know, in the right sidebar, sign up for the newsletter, which I randomly send. I do not spam, but you can get that. And I'd love to, it's helped me a lot the last couple weeks, actually.
Heck yeah. So do this. If you will send me a link that like literally lands them right to go to that, I will have my editing company go ahead and post that link on our show notes. And then it'll take them there and they can get that. So I definitely believe in that. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. So Bethany, we're going to go back to the future.
Okay.
And you get to take a ride in the DeLorean, and you are going to pick an age. and you are going to give yourself advice. You can't change anything. So Marty McFly, he got to change stuff. You don't. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give the younger you, and what age would you go back to?
I would go back to college when I met Justin, because I wanted to hang out with him so much, I started skipping class. Yeah, I was so over school. And I would tell myself, just finish college now. He's going to be there waiting for you. It's not a big deal.
Dude, he must be a hunk, man. We got to have him on the show.
I love him so much. Yeah, I would say finish school and save money. Like, I think everybody wishes they could go back and just start saving money. You don't need to spend it on all this crazy stuff because you've got bigger things coming.
Man, that ain't no joke. So that is great advice. Save money and finish what you're doing, because your love life will still happen down the road.
Yes.
I promise. So for those of you that are young, just don't worry about it. It will all come together. Just save money and know that the right person will come along when they're supposed to.
Exactly. That's actually what the book was about that sold. It's a dating guide.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I'd love to. Yeah, we'll have to share that with our listeners. Okay, so give us a piece of parting advice.
Just always listen for the Holy Spirit. I think listening to his nudges, it will save you from heartache. Not all heartache, but it can save you and spare you from a lot of heartache. And then when he's telling you to do something scary, you just need to trust that you need to walk in that. So just start tuning in so that you know his voice.
Absolutely. And you are a perfect example, as far as I would go back to the beginning of the show to say stepping out in faith. So obviously you were scared to pursue your writing and stuff you did. But because you did, God opened massive doors for you that would not have been opened had you not stepped out. So be obedient. All right. So last thing, share with us how we get a hold of you. I want to hear about your website, resources, if we want to have you come speak, all, and honestly, your business too, which is SeriousWriterInc.com. Share us all that stuff, how we find you.
So you can find me at BethanyJett.com. That's all like the writing and speaking kinds of things. And then we have a couple of websites for the business. It's SeriousWriter.com. We'll take you to, you know, our main blog page and our tours and conferences. And then SeriousWriterAcademy.com has a bunch of online courses for people, really inexpensive, so they can just get started the right way, kind of creating a standard of, if you want to get in this business, there's some things to do, and here's how you can do it right. You don't have to go back and fix things later. So
I dig it, man. So we all need that. Okay. Bethany, hold on. Thank you so much for your stories. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your journey and your husband with us and your kids and all that stuff. So I love what you're doing, your gifts and your talent. So Roar Nation, if you feel called to write and that stirring inside of you, please go check out Bethany's information on her website. And Bethany, hold on just a second. Thank you. Roar Nation, man, I love you. We are excited today in Amarillo, Texas. Man, it's going to be a great day, and you're going to have a great day. It doesn't matter what day you listen to this. It's just going to be great because you're awesome. God has put gifts and talents inside of you to change the workplace, to change your family, and just to go be a light. You are a city on a hill everywhere you go. So just remember that. I believe in you. Our team believes in you. If you guys need anything, please reach out. We do have DIY Remodel Your Life on the front page of areyoureal.org. And if you got any advice, have questions, whatever, send us an email. And please go on to iTunes, rate and review us. It helps us. And I need a favor, please. I need you to send this link to 3 friends who need encouragement today and to get our podcast out there. Because we're actually, for those of you who don't know, we are working on 20 shows a month, which will be about 12 to 20. We'll be releasing possibly 5 shows a week, all different topics, and I'll bring in some new people on board. So we're really excited about that. It'll be launching in January. So love you guys. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.